12 200s stroke with 8 kicks off every wall. I forget the interval, but it was something we had like 5 seconds rest max. And it was just like terrible. Like everyone was falling apart. Like people were missing the interval, breaking stroke. We had to start over at one point because our coach was like, if anyone doesn't hit the kick count, we're all starting over. And we got to like number 5 and somebody messed it up and we had to go again. And, you know, it was, the whole team was in shambles, but we got better that day for sure.
Welcome to Social Kick. I'm Brian Lundquist. We got a partial crew, Dr. John Mullen, Luke's hanging out in the island towns in Trinidad, but we got current Virginia Cavalier and future joining us, Jack Akins, Maximus Williamson. What's going on, guys? How are you?
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us on the podcast today.
Yeah, of course. Well, we'll start off with some rapid fire questions. We always ask our audience what they want to ask you guys. So first, let's start for both of you. Maybe Maximus, kick us off. What's your best favorite pump up song?
Ooh, my favorite pump up song. I probably have to go with some like old rock song. Probably like either like Kickstart My Heart or Welcome to the Jungle. One of those two.
Dude, I love Kickstart My Heart. That's a good one. That one, shout out Ruby Tuesdays for giving us that question. Not the restaurant, maybe. I don't know. Jack, what's your pump-up song?
I don't have a specific song that I always go back to. I've been listening to a lot of Ken Carson lately. I like Freestyle 2 a lot. It's been my go-to song lately. But it always usually rotates depending on the meet.
Sweet. Okay. Hey, Jack, this one's for you. Pearsall one. When do you think that 200-meter backstroke world record will be broken? Shout out Kai Han Wolf for that question.
I don't know. I mean, hopefully soon, right? That's all I can say. But, you know, that's an amazing record. That record's been standing for forever. And I don't know when it's going to fall, but it's crazy to think that that's what the time is. 151 is just out of this world.
Yeah, what's the delta between what you're holding in practice and maybe what he's averaging in that?
I don't know. Matt Hallman, my friend on the team, just told me the other day he saw some video about Pearsall holding like insane times in practice where it would be like a descend set that Eddie would have him do with a bunch of 200s backstroke, and the goal would be to descend to a hard pace, and he would just start at like 142s in a 200 backstroke and just like try to hold on to that as best as he could. And not quite there yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, always something to look, to work towards.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Maximus, this one's from Jason Willman, who was asking about the announcement for all the UVA class on social media. How'd you guys coordinate that post?
It was just kind of like we had our group of 5 guys at the start of it, and we were all just kind of talking, and they were just kind of waiting for us, me and Thomas, and because, I mean, we were still deciding. We were running down the pros and cons and really like thinking it over. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's who you fit best with, like what, cause I mean, this is like your second family basically. So, I mean, we all just kind of sat down, figured it out, and we were like, okay, this is the best day to do it. And we're all ready. So we just kind of communicate a lot.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, we got to get some reactions then to NCAAs. My brain won't stop with 402. So I'm just curious, Maximus, what did you think when you saw somebody turn at 133 and they still had another 300 to go?
Well, I mean, I don't want to say like I'm surprised, but I kind of knew like he was going to do something around there. I didn't know, like, it knew he was going to go like 401 to 403, somewhere in that range. And because, I mean, he went 406 at, what was it? Pac-12s. It was Pac-12s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I knew he went 406 at Pac-12s, and I don't think he was shaved or tapered. So, and his underwaters are just disgusting. His underwaters are so fast.
Yeah. Jack, what do you notice about him and just like, I think it's crazy to watch somebody with their race strategy and also just like the technical skills. But is there anything that you watch when you have like the star swimmers of your era, and you know, maybe we've got one who's you know, on the screen next to you, maybe about to join, you know, about to join your college team next year, doing some crazy things. You guys both did crazy things as juniors. And but when you see somebody like Marshawn do stuff like that, what are the things that you're picking up? Is it inspiration, or is it like, okay, like, let me understand what he's doing?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of inspiration, just knowing that doing crazy stuff like that is possible. But yeah, the main thing I notice is just like, he doesn't seem to deteriorate at all, like with his technique or his skills or anything. He doesn't like let his underwaters, you know, fail towards the end of a race. He always is pushing as far as he can underwater. And that's something that like, that's one of his strengths, obviously, being underwater. And that's something that he's able to capitalize on so well. He holds his turns and his underwater like so well, even at the end of a 500 freestyle. It's just like mind blowing. He's able to do that.
What are some other things you guys try to, or you notice when you're watching other elite swimmers? Obviously you guys are both great swimmers and elites on your own rights, but watching like high level meets, are there certain things you're trying to pick up? Is it specific to, I don't know, what you're working on in practice or what you're trying to work on at the time, or just you kind of see what stands out and goes from there? Jack, why don't we start with you?
Yeah. So the thing about that is I feel like everybody kind of has like a few different things that work for them better. And it's not a one size fits all type of technique where there's one certain way to do things better than anybody else. So just kind of figuring out like, what are the best in the world doing? And then trying to incorporate that as good as you can for how, like how it works for your body and how it feels for you, you know, for your technique and stuff.
How about you, Maximus? Obviously, you're, you know, rising pretty quickly on the scene here with a lot of your times. But when you're watching NCAAs or world championships, how do you kind of watch other elite swimmers?
Well, I see it as in kind of like a, like I watch their swims and I kind of see what they're doing. But then I also like will think back to like what I'm swimming and I'll kind of think, what did he do differently that I didn't do? Or like, what did he do better than me that I didn't do? And then I'll kind of be like, well, if these people can go these times, then I should be able to do that in X years. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting to watch just all the crazy fast swimming and then like try to compare yourself, but you're not there. So you always have someone to chase. But I just see it as a very competitive standpoint.
Maximus, you got another year, right, before you go to UVA?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good. Yeah, just looking at your times, I'm sure, Jack, it looks like he needs another year of development before he comes to college. Yeah,
I don't think he's ready yet.
Dude, it's so crazy. So I before we hopped on, Jack, I found this video from 4-ish years ago of winter juniors maybe, or like juniors final in the 50 free, and it's you and Jack Alexi and Jake McGahee going 19.9s in the 50 free and you win it. And it was like, it just made me think about like the path then from there to specializing more in different events, like you trending much more in the backstroke arena, still keeping some freestyle. And then like Jack Alexi's a world silver medalist in the 50 free now. And then you've got Jake McGahee who like got, I didn't even know he could go 19 at that point. And he's, you know, a 407, 406 guy in the 500 free.
Yeah.
And like, it's just thinking about Marshawn too, and then Maximus, like you and your range of different events and capabilities, it's like you just notice these people when people that are really good at, you know, an early age and then are also just, you know, at the top level of the sport in swimming right now, it seems like everybody's good. You're just good swimmers. You know, you're not, it's not that you're like that good at one particular specialty. It's that you're just really good in the water. And then, you know, maybe you end up specializing later on, but that's what I think we saw some with Leon swimming a 500 free. It's like, you can swim anything, you know? And so I just like, I don't know, maybe Jack, I'd love to know just if there's some sort of feeling about that as you're, you know, coming through swimming, that the focus is really on just being really good in the water and, you know, maybe less so of a, in my era, I was like, oh, this race is my baby. You know, like I really love to swim that one, but it seems like there's more people just thinking about not limiting themselves to, you know, typecast it. I am this kind of thing. I'm just a swimmer in general. Do you feel that way at all?
Yeah, I think that's important. Not only in training, but also at meets. Cause I mean, I do feel like the 200 backstroke is definitely my best event. And I mean, like you said, I would consider that to be my baby, but it's important to like branch out and do other stuff and develop skills that will help you improve in other areas, and developing those in practice also will help you just like not get worn out from only training for one event. Like that can really kind of just get in your head and, you know, make it difficult to improve in that area. So one of the things we do at UVA is we do a lot of well-rounded stuff. Like we work a lot of IM regardless of if you actually swim IM, which helps you, you know, just develop your skills in all four strokes and just become a better swimmer regardless of what event you actually specialize in.
What's the messaging and the logic behind that? I mean, I guess intuitively it makes sense, but I'm curious about how, you know, Todd or the rest of the staff are framing that for you as you join a program. And then obviously Maximus, you've had tons of this interaction of late, you know, to just get to know and understand, okay, what's the right program for me? If I go there, like what's the training going to be like? Maybe Maximus, have you actually had that conversation about like, you know, the way that the training is and the focus on that versatility and the way, like what that will look like when you get there?
I have not so much thought about, like, I don't think we've talked much about what I'll do when I get there. I mean, I'm assuming we'll do the same kind of things that we do, at my club team now, because the way I see it is like, you're working on your best stroke will also help, or working on your worst stroke will also help your best stroke get better. So like, so my breaststroke is, it's okay, but it's definitely my worst stroke, especially in the IM, but my working on my breaststroke in practice has turned out to help my like freestyle on like the last 50. It's helped my freestyle dramatically because I'm so tired working on my worst stroke that when we train free sets after that, it just makes the free a whole lot easier. So it, like, I don't know, it's like a whole nother gear. So it's interesting.
And Maximus, with your training, could tell us maybe a little bit more about how you're structuring your practices with your club team.
So we kind of do like towards the start of the week, we'll kind of do some like aerobic stuff on Monday. And then as we push through the week, we'll do stroke in the middle of the weeks. And then towards the end, we'll do like some faster stuff, like 200 paces and off the block speed and all that kind of jazz after like Friday and Saturday. That's when we start doing all the fast stuff. But moving up, it's just like aerobic and then some stroke work and then fast. So we kind of switch it up every day. Something new.
Jack, are you a gamer? I'm just looking at this background going, what's...
Yeah, a little bit. I'm on my desk right now. Big Xbox guy. Nice. Not more than a lot of the kids on my team, though. Like, Noah Nichols is probably the biggest gamer I know.
Hey Maximus, what are some of the things that you felt like made it feel like family? Like what are the guys and gals on the team into? Like what made you feel that connection that made UVA feel like home?
Just like I've never seen such a well-rounded and like commutative combined program than Virginia has. Like, I think Virginia's got the best combined program in the country, and like they like mesh so well together. And so Todd and Tyler just make the practices, like they bring the energy every day. It's just awesome to see that.
Are you jumping on these games with all the dudes yet, or is that a rite of passage? You got to get there first.
It's probably a rite of passage.
He doesn't have the invite yet, huh, Jack? It's got to go through initiation.
We can get you locked in.
I'm trying to get you an invite here, man.
Well, yeah. I'm not going to help with that invite. But one thing you mentioned earlier, Maximus, having the pro con list for the schools. I want to hear the con list on UVA.
Well, it wasn't really so much as like a con list on UVA, because it was more about so much of what other schools have that some don't. So like Dr. Ono at UVA, like crazy smart, helps me. He did, I think it was last year, we were up at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado. He came up there with like some technology and like videoed us swim, and you could just, it was so neat to just see like where your stroke was like not proficient and like where you were slowing down and speeding up. It's just, that's a huge part, especially in the sport now when everything can be so like minute, can make a huge difference. But I mean, for pros and cons, they're really, I didn't really find that many cons, but I mean, maybe it snows in the winter because I'm from Texas, but I mean, that's literally about it.
Yeah, it sounds like you said, a lot of excitement going there, a lot of other recruits, the combined program you also mentioned. Jack, maybe talk about what it's like training with the UVA women and what the impact of having such a strong women's team has on a combined program.
Yeah, it's definitely super interesting to have like the quadruple champs on our team every single year, like day in and day out, we're training with the best women's team on the planet. So it's always like, it's always really interesting to just train, you know, next to them incredible women's team every day. And there's always a fair amount of trash talk going on because sometimes the girls will be beating the guys on like kick sets or something like that. And, you know, it's always funny to give guys a hard time. It's usually me that loses to them on the kick set. Not a strong kicker, but.
I was just going to ask you, is Gretchen torching these dudes in underwater?
Oh yeah.
What? Yeah. Give me an example.
You know, we'll do like kick with socks on a board. And she's just thrown down and destroying all the guys in, you know, multiple seconds, stuff like that. It's just wild to see.
That's so crazy. Is there like any trash talk coming from her side too?
A little, I mean, not much. She doesn't really say much, but it'll more be like other guys like telling you that you just got beat by Gretchen. So
she's just saying scoreboard, I think, yeah. Or record board. That's all the trash talk she probably needs.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, that's so wild, man. What do you guys do during the women's meet? You guys like get together and watch live stream, or is there any kind of like team environment to watch when you know they're just going to come on and dominate? It's like built in agreement for 4 days.
Yeah, we'll turn it on in one of our apartments and just hang out and witness greatness.
Is there somebody on the coaching staff who's like the mole, who's like live tweeting the session, or have you guys on Instagram live just so you can join and be like part of the team environment on deck too?
We have not done that yet, but it's probably a good idea for Tyler. He's all over the Instagram stuff.
Yeah, can confirm. Maybe that's the next development. No, that must be so crazy just to see the level there. And then, you know, we were talking a few weeks ago with a couple of the women, and part of the conversation was about like the conversation that, you know, they had with Todd before joining and during the recruitment process about the trajectory of the team and how he was going to bring national titles to the women's team. And said like those same types of conversations are happening for the men, but maybe just, you know, coming a bit later. And so, you know, but it sounds like the trajectory, the type of things that, you know, the way that the training's going. And I mean, obviously there's an Olympic focus here, which is why, you know, you're not at the NCAAs this year, Jack, but, you know, what are some of the like things that you've seen directionally amongst the, you know, the men's team that's, you know, got it attracting the type of recruiting class that, you know, you guys have just put together with Maximus and Thomas, and like, what are the things that you're seeing with people developing throughout the program to show those signs of greatness where it's like, okay, we're seeing those indicators that, that attracts our program to like top recruits, and it's going to get there, and it's going to be scary when it does.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been like a complete energy and culture shift on UVA from what I've noticed, and just everyone's bought in and locked in and wants to like get to where the women are now. And we all believe we have that potential and we know we can do it. And like that type of energy and that type of focus is like absolutely what we feel every day. And I think that's one of the things that recruits like to hear is that, they're going to a program with a bunch of guys that are hunting for something big.
Maximus, what did you feel in the process?
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like going to a place where you believe the people when they say like, we want to do this, we will do this. I mean, you don't just say stuff like that to say stuff like that. I mean, when you say something like that, that's truly what you want. That's truly what your goal is. So, I mean, I don't think you can really go wrong with that in my eyes.
So Jack, like Brian was saying, bringing in a great recruiting class, what are some of the other things that need to fall into place to continue to have the UVA team rise?
Yeah. In addition to that, just like personal development, like over the course of everybody. I mean, they say chain is only as strong as its weakest link. So just improving every day, week by week, focusing on the things you can control. Just everybody on their course of personal development raises the team to be something greater as a whole.
And Maximus, you mentioned one of the reasons you were coming was Dr. I think it's Ono, working with the team. And we've heard a lot from Kate Douglas and how she's working with him quite a bit. But Jack, talk us through how you guys utilize him and maybe how he, you know, integrates his way. I've been part of some groups where we have, you know, sports scientists and biomechanists, and it's always an interesting, you know, balance of having them, you know, communicate with the athletes, how they communicate it, and what every team likes to be able to convey the correct message that's effective for the swimmers.
Yeah. So just yesterday, actually, I was working with Dr. Ono on some stuff. He has this new technology called, I think it's called EO, like force, and you put these little sensors on your hands. And so like when you swim, it measures the amount of propulsion you have and where you're aiming it. So I was doing some backstroke testing yesterday, and ideally, you know, when you swim backstroke, you're shooting all the water like directly down towards your feet to like, you know, to make sure you're moving just in the straight direction. And it can show you like what percentage of your force is being applied directly where it should be, what percentage is like going out to the sides or up or down or where it shouldn't be. So I got my results and looking on that, it turns out my left arm is doing really good with like shooting most of my force down where it should be going. And right arm has some like stuff going off to the side. So we're going to start improving with that and stuff. I'm just like really lucky. I got, people like that to like experience that data and stuff like that. Like Maximus was saying, it's all super minute nowadays with things you can control and improve on. So it's been really, really helpful to work on that type of stuff.
Yeah. I'm curious about like the cadence too. How frequently is this type of thing happening? I mean, obviously it's like you, on one hand, it could be something that happens all the time, but sometimes like swimming is notorious for being hard to learn. The skills are difficult to master. And so, you know, there's a negative too if you give an athlete too many things to think about. So like, you know, I can imagine like once you have this takeaway, then you kind of want to practice it for a bit and then like stay checked in on it. But if you had 10 different things that you needed to work on, it's like, okay, can't boil the ocean. We gotta like just focus on some of the biggest things. So like, what's the cadence of working with Dr. Ono? Does he come in, you know, is he a regular staple of practice? Is it more like a once a week, every couple of weeks sort of thing?
It's maybe once every couple of weeks and definitely more frequently for some people than others, just based on requests. Certain people can sign up and for that and other people don't want to. So you by no means are getting overwhelmed by any of it. He'll like first ask you what you think you can improve with your stroke and then do all the testing and look at underwater footage and data and stuff like that. And then he'll kind of like steer you in the right direction of what he thinks you should be like getting more out of and stuff that you can improve on. So it like, I don't feel overwhelmed at all with it. I know what I need to improve on and what I am good at and can capitalize on. So it's really helpful to just like be able to visualize it, see myself doing it in like a bunch of different ways I would have never thought possible, like the propulsion test and stuff like that underwater.
Yeah, that's awesome to see like swimming technology and science evolving to, you know, the next level to produce times that we see. Maximus, you said you had exposure to Dr. Ono, the OTC. What kind of work were you doing? Did you get any of the kind of testing that, you know, Jack's talking about, or at least or was it more of like a presentation?
No, we got to actually like do it firsthand. He gave us like this belt. I don't know. It was like a sensor belt, but we put it around our stomach and then we swam like 100 fast. So I did 100 back or fly back maybe. Yeah. I think I did 100 fly back up there. And then he lines it up with a video camera. So he like syncs it and he'll watch you underwater and also watch you above water. But at the same time, he's getting the readings from the belt. So it like, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's really weird, but you definitely can tell the difference. And when you're able to see it and then apply it, it makes a huge difference.
And I've worked with, like I said, some athletes in a similar scenario. And I always am curious on how biomechanists and sports scientists, you know, handle telling a swimmer that has a lot of errors in their stroke and how they kind of breach that in a nice way. Jack, have you ever heard Dr. Ono's, you know, have to convey this to someone or maybe yourself with one of your like off strokes? You're like, wow, I've got a lot to work on.
Yeah. I mean, I do have a lot to work on with my kicking and he's been pretty blunt about that with me. He knows I can handle it. So it's, you know, it's all good. It's to help me. It's for betterment of us. So it's stuff that we need to hear and can improve on. So
does he pull you to the side and go, so Jack, it says here that you suck.
What this number means.
Well, yeah, it was kind of funny yesterday when we got the results back for the propulsion test and it looks like a little, like kind of like a rocket ship. Like it shows you like the lane and then where your force is like shooting downwards from there. And my right arm had this little jet stream going off to the side. And when we first pulled it up, he was like, whoa, what is that? Like, it was kind of funny. Cause you know, it's just like, you don't ever get to see that kind of stuff. So it's really interesting to see that and talk about it and try to improve.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you're at the doctor or something and the doctor, you know, looks at something on you and then goes, oh
yeah. Like,
that's not a sound that any doctor should make. And I feel like I could totally see Dr. Ono like looking at the, oh, oh, excuse me. I've never seen that before. Hey, Maximus, back to your experience with him and the, you know, the 100 fly back and the belt exercise and all that. So like, what did you learn? I mean, what are some of the takeaway? Did you come away with some things that you can focus on?
Yeah. So I learned that my turns sucked a year ago. They were not very good. And so were my underwaters. My underwaters are god awful too, but I'm trying to get better at those. And I also learned that my backstroke was like a little funky. Like I just sit a little low in the water. And like, I don't really ride on top of the water like you're supposed to. Like I just kind of dragged my hips and my like lower back through the water, which is not how you're supposed to swim backstroke. But
so you mentioned that they sucked a year ago. So what were the things that you were working on exactly and how have they improved?
I was just really focusing on like just every wall should have just been a little bit better than the last one. Or I try at least to hit, do that goal. But I mean, just the more you work on it, the more you try to perfect your craft, and just the better it's going
to
get.
Is that just getting into the wall? Is it trying to go a distance off the wall?
It's a little bit of everything. So it's a little bit just of speed, like feet to the wall fast, how like well my streamline is off the wall, and like feet position. I mean, everything, just all, every minute detail can, like small things make a huge difference. So
I'm just curious about the things that you guys are doing in practice. Jack, how much time do you spend underwater? You know, it just seems like Gretchen, you know, was going 15 off every wall. And then we're watching Leon go, I don't know how many kicks he was taking, but he wasn't quite going 12 and a half off every wall, but like pretty close, it seemed like, in a 500. And, but like, what's the standard now? Do you guys have some team standards? It's like, this is the set that we do, and everybody's underwater, you know, for this amount. Is it like, you know, it's, the few days a week that you're really focusing on pushing the underwaters? What's kind of the team vibe and rules around that?
It's more of having certain practices that are dedicated to underwaters. Like, we'll have a couple of those a week where we just solely focus on underwater power, strength, efficiency, just doing underwater work the whole practice. And then carrying over those skills into every other practice to just like, everybody has a different kick count or how many kicks they need to do depending on what event, you know, it's different for everybody. So just developing those skills, like in their own dedicated time and practice, is important so that you can apply those to your kick count, no matter what it might be.
I keep hearing this theme of efficiency. And when you talk about the either kick count or stroke count, it just brings me back to, you know, again, to use the Gretchen example, I don't know how many strokes she was taking, but I feel like it was like six strokes a lap and 100 free, you know, or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know the facts, but I remember it being like long and holding a ton of water, right? And but I remember having talked to Kate about this before too, just like maximizing efficiency. And then you giving the example of, you know, identifying where the force is in your backstroke pull is then again focusing on maximizing efficiency for maybe, I don't know if it's fewer strokes necessarily, but it seems like directionally that way. Like, how do you guys talk about integration of like, you know, your personal skills and style into optimizing what that like right kick count is, you know, and then from there you're doing training where it's like, you know, you identify that you need to be 8 kicks or 12 kicks in a 200 backstroke, and those 12 kicks also need to carry you X distance. Is that kind of where that gets into the training, where you're going, like the focus training becomes, it's not just 12 kicks off every wall, but it's 12 kicks that carry you X distance, and that's the focus?
Yeah. I mean, for someone like me, I don't ever have to worry about going past 15. On the underwater for a backstroke. So it's not like I am trying to pull myself up before the 15. I just work on my kick count and my stroke count. And like what we've been incorporating lately is not just like holding pace in like long course backstroke sets, but holding that pace with a certain kick and stroke count to know that that's like possible and optimal for the 200 backstroke and or the 100, depending on if that's what I'm training for that day. But just like using those skills incorporated while you're going fast is really important, I think.
With your backstroke and the force meter testing on the hand, it makes me think of just the evolution of swimming, how, you know, it used to be, oh, let's make this S-shaped curve in freestyle. And now we're really focused on, you know, directing the force behind us to move forward. But just having that information is one thing. Being able to, I think, feel that and then change it is a whole different story. Do you have things you're thinking about to change it, or are there specific drills that you have to try to improve that direction of force on the hand?
Mm-hmm. So, we think that it, like the imbalance in my pull, propulsion might be because of an imbalance in my kick, just because of how my body position is like oriented when I'm like rotating to my right side. And when I'm about to engage my right pole, I'm like kicking differently than I would be when my left arm enters. So we're going to try to work on those things and test it again once I've worked on that a little bit and see if that changes anything. But yeah, Dr. Ono is super smart and has a ton of ideas on what to improve. And that's like his thing. So I'm lucky he's on our team.
Yeah, totally. I just want to come back to Maximus. You talking about like the development areas, you know, like your turns suck and not that good at underwater, but like, what do you think you do well? Cause you're pretty damn fast. So you don't get that way without being really good too. So what do you think is like a real strength of yours?
I would probably say my biggest strength is just like competing, like just racing. I mean, I think that's how I've gotten so far now is just every day. And even in practice, there's always someone to race. Like, I mean, today we had one of our foreign kids, Adam, he swims breaststroke, like he's a breaststroker. And so, I mean, we just race and breaststroke like for the majority of practice today. And of course, that's my weak stroke. That's his best stroke. So, I mean, there's just kind of like, I mean, there's a fine line of just competing in practice and then competing in a race. Like, it's like a whole new person. Like, it's like a whole new gear that you can tap into. And I think it just expands like the sport in general. Like, if there wasn't racing, then I don't know. I don't think it would be a sport. But I think that's one of my biggest strengths is definitely just racing and just being able to compete.
Yeah, it would be pretty funny if swimming was like a bobsled, you know, where you just went like one at a time.
Yeah.
like a long jump. That would make things kind of crazy if there wasn't a racing component to it. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned racing. I'd love to hear some high school dual meet racing stories you have. There must be some pretty interesting races you have when you're dropping 131s or things like that at high school meets.
I wouldn't call that much of a race either.
Exactly. It's like, I mean, how do you, I guess, how would you describe that?
I don't know. It's always so fun. I mean, because just stepping up on the blocks, my adrenaline already starts going no matter what, if it's like in practice or if it's at a meet. I mean, and then there's always like just the making fun of each other constantly. Like I raced a couple of my friends in like speedos at random dual meets in like the 50 freestyle. And it's just, I mean, it's always so fun. Even at like little meets when there's not even like officials there and we're literally just racing off the block in practice or at like just a random high school, like senior meet. I mean, it's just awesome.
And back to your recruiting class with the UVA, obviously it's you and Thomas, but there's a lot of other top recruits with it, you guys going to UVA. Some of you are even saying this might be one of the best recruiting classes of all time. How do you feel about that? It being called that, and I guess what type of pressure has come with that?
You know, that's a good question. I think that we do have a pretty dang good recruiting class, but I think what makes us all even better is that we're all just a super competitive group of guys. So like we'll push each other every day for 4 years. So I think that'll be where the most improvement comes from is just consistently hammering each other every single day in practice. So I think, yeah, it's going to be fun.
Hell yeah, it is. All right, Maximus, we got to know some outside of the pool. What's a typical weekend look like for you? What are you doing? What are you into?
I play a lot of sand volleyball and we play some pickleball every once in a while, but probably video games for the most part, that is sand and pickleball.
So this, you got that kind of situation dialed in for when you get to Virginia? Is that, we got beach volleyball in Charlottesville and
we do
beach volleyball on my recruiting visit.
I imagine that was intentional.
I mean, it just kind of happened that way. We do that. We play beach volleyball for all our recruits, but yeah, it worked out Well, it's really fun.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah. Well, I mean, do you feel like there's anything that you get out of that besides the, like, you get some athletic ability out of it besides just the kind of mental release and something else to be competitive in and have some fun doing, Maximus?
Yes, sir. You definitely get, like, just staying as an athlete. I think just staying honed in as an athlete in general, even outside of the pool. So, like, whether that's playing like a pickup basketball game or just like just being competitive outside of not your main sport is just, I think it's super beneficial because I mean, you're taking your focus in your mind, just kind of like decompressing your body from like your main sport. It's also kind of like a mental break too. So you're not like only like swimming. You can do something that's outside, but like also have fun and just compete, just be a competitive person. I mean, plays a huge role as an athlete.
Hell yeah. I feel like we always hear this in the NFL combine, which is, you know, somewhat recently, all these NFL coaches talking about how they're after guys that just want to compete. I feel like that's the most common phrase. I just want guys who love football and they just want to compete. And I feel like I hear from you, you just love swimming and love competing, and it doesn't matter what it is. I feel like that's probably a pretty key trait to have, but I'm curious about where that comes from too. What are your parents like? How did you become this competitive athlete that you are?
Well, I played, I want to say like 5 or 6 different sports growing up. I mean, I played football for 6 years. I played baseball for 5. I wrestled for 2 years, and I played a little bit of basketball and a little bit of soccer. But I don't know, my parents were both in the military. So my mom was in the airborne and my dad is a helicopter pilot. So, I mean, it's super, I don't know, just come from a competitive family. It just kind of dawned on me that I should be super competitive also.
Yeah. Well, why swimming then?
You know, that's a great question too. Yeah, I don't know. I just felt like swimming was the right thing. I mean, I played 3 different sports at once. I wrestled, football, I played football and swam like all in the same day. I would go from swim practice to like throwing my pads on in the car on the way to football practice and then immediately putting on like my singlet to go to wrestling practice. And it was just like, my mom's like, you got to pick one. Just like, I guess I'll swim. But
She must have just thought you really like wearing tight pants.
I was thinking my arm will stink. Jeez.
Yeah, but it was pretty tiring. But I mean, she didn't even want me to swim. My mom didn't want me to swim at all.
Well, there's that John Oliver segment saying swimming's the worst sport for a parent. It's like, if you really want to commit yourself to 4 a.m. wake ups for the next 10 years, be a swim parent.
Yeah, because my mom swam at University of Michigan. So she swam there for 4 years. And I mean, she made the Pan Am's team, got like 3rd in the 4 a.m. So, I mean, she knew what swimming was like, but she just didn't want her kids to swim. So I guess that didn't turn out the way she thought it was.
Jack, what were you like as a young buck? You're obviously like, I brought up the example earlier of you, you know, winning titles at a national level when you're a junior. So, but like, what else were you into?
I was into a lot of stuff like, you know, video games, just outdoor stuff, fishing, you know, anything really. Me and my friends would go play pickleball or tennis or anything outside, or frisbee golf we got really into in high school. But yeah, really anything just with friends.
How's your frolfing game?
Frolf has been pretty tame lately. I haven't played in a while, but I need to get back out there. I miss it.
How long until we get a competitive pickleball into the NCAA? Do you think that's within the next 5 years?
I mean, I don't know why it's not here already. Like, there's definitely enough people that want to play, you know?
Yeah. Do you guys have official courts and everything at school?
Yeah, we do.
That's sick. I wonder how the tennis players feel about that though.
I mean, it's probably some banter back and forth between, but you know, I prefer pickleball.
Nice. All right. Well, we got some rapid fire questions and we'll let you guys go. But we'll bounce back and forth. Maximus, what's the hardest race in swimming?
The hardest race in swimming is probably the 4M long course. 4M long course is the hardest race in swimming. Or I'd argue the 2-back long course.
Ooh, notable. All right, Jack, near and dear to Jack's heart. Jack, what's the hardest race in swimming?
I don't know. I feel like I've never done a 2-fly ever in my life, so I have no idea what that's like. But I feel like 4IM long course is probably a good answer. I feel like that would be so draining. Oh my God, I'm going to steal that.
All right, fair enough. We're aligned. Okay, Jack, Olympic gold or world record?
Dang, that's actually a really tough question. Probably world record. Just because, like, even if it's not the Olympics, you still know, like, nobody's ever been faster than that. I think that's just, like, a super cool thing. Like, it's development for the sport as a whole, not just, like, a development for that year, that Olympics, that, like, you know, your country. It's more than that. It's moving the entire sport forward.
All right, I'll double-click on this one. When you think about and visualize breaking a world record, is it 2-back and what's the time?
I've thought about that a lot. I do think about, you know, breaking the 2-back record. There's not a specific time that comes to mind, but it is that event. I do think about that for sure.
All right, Maximus, Olympic gold or world record?
Probably world record. I mean, Jack's answer is a solid answer too. I'm going to piggyback off of that one. Because I don't think you really get any better than breaking a world record. I mean, like an Olympic gold is, like, don't get me wrong, an Olympic gold is an Olympic gold, but like just breaking a world record, just as Jack said, just moves the whole sport forward and just betters it for the future too.
All right, when you picture it, what's the event and what's your celebration after?
Probably 2IM, probably 2IM, and I don't know. I don't really think I'd have a celebration.
No celebration. You're just going to be quiet.
Probably.
Walk away. I'll just leave this there for everybody. 152. See ya.
That might honestly be cooler. Just do nothing. Just get out of the pool.
All right. Jack, do you pee in the pool?
Yep.
Maximus,
yes, sir. In the pool.
Disgusting. All right.
Anyone Maximus that says they're not is lying.
Yeah. Everybody pees in the pool, no matter who it is.
Maximus, have you ever cried at practice?
No, I don't think so. I've been angry at practice. I don't think I've cried at practice, though.
Well, I bet there's some other people that have cried when they lost to you at practice. Jack, have you ever cried at practice?
I think so. I'm pretty sure I have back in high school that we did some crazy, crazy long yardage sets and I probably was just not having it. There was one day in particular, I feel like we had multiple people cry during one set and I was definitely one of them. So sometimes you just got to let it out and move forward.
Oh man. All right. Well, who's the most likely to cry on the team and what was the set that day?
Kate Douglas. I can't pick one. I feel like her and Gretchen gets there too. You know, there's not one particular set, but you know, Kate will probably want to kill me if she sees this, but
this is about honesty, man. So yeah. Wait, hold on. But you said that there was a day that like people were you know, fallen and struggling. You don't remember what the details of that day were? It sounds like it was damn hard.
It was, yeah, I think we did like 12 200s stroke with 8 kicks off every wall. I forget the interval, but it was something we had like 5 seconds rest max. And it was just like terrible. Like everyone was falling apart. Like people were missing the interval, breaking stroke. We had to start over at one point because our coach was like, if anyone doesn't hit the kick count, we're all starting over. And we got to like number 5 and somebody messed it up and we had to go again. And, you know, it was, the whole team was in shambles, but we got better that day for sure.
Maximus, you're lit up like you're so excited to get into this environment. I mean, that's the look on your face right now. Just, do you hear stuff like this? Because that sounds like suffering to me. But
no, that was high school. That was high school.
Oh, that was high school.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we're done with that now.
Man. Yeah, yeah. Brutal. But still, I mean, like, Max, you're looking at this going, shoot, I wanna do more stuff like that. I love it.
I've had a couple of practices that are like that where the whole team is just like distraught. I mean, we've had to do like 10 400s IMs before, and it's like, it's not very fun, but I mean, you get better from it and you learn from it. So but it also teaches you mentally strong.
Yeah, for sure. Maximus, what Olympic sport would you be best at besides swimming?
Probably, I don't know. I would probably just want to say like best Olympic sport. Probably wrestling then.
Yeah, hell yeah. What weight class is that then? Like, I don't know all the different, I know it in boxing and in wrestling, it's just purely the number weight, right? Not the like featherweight, welterweight, any of that.
I think so. I think it's like 5 pounds within 5 or 3 pounds, something.
All right. So you're getting after the cauliflower here. I like it. Jack, what Olympic sport would you be best at besides swimming? Or maybe is there an Olympic sport you'd be better at than swimming and you just don't even know?
I don't know. Is ultimate frisbee in the Olympics? Is that a thing?
I don't know. It should be.
Because if I wasn't a swimmer, I would definitely be playing ultimate frisbee.
Honestly, I don't feel like it's far away because, I mean, breakdancing is in for Paris.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably the most like fun activity I did in high school. Like on Saturday practices, sometimes my team, instead of dry land, would just play ultimate frisbee. And it was the most like fun, competitive thing ever. And we just like loved it. So I'd definitely be doing that. But if that's not in the Olympics, maybe track, like sprinting. I can't run very far, but play sprinting would be fun.
Sweet. All right, Maximus, how often are you doing social kick at practice?
I mean, like social kick written into practice, or how much I just do social kick?
Hey, man, you can go rogue, whichever way works.
Probably like, I don't know, I want to say like 200 to practice at least.
Hell yeah. Every day. I love it. Jack, what about UVA? What's he getting into? How often are we incorporating this? How many more yards do we need to lobby for so I can text Tyler what we need to be doing?
So in Jake's group, which is the group I'm in, we do our warm up every single day is a 200 swim and then 100 social kick. So at least 100 every day. For the other groups, I think it's random. But and then like warm down, we'll usually do like 250 swim, 150 kick, like however many rounds of that, but the 50 kick is always social kick. So, you know, probably upwards of 300 a day, maybe.
Hell yeah. All right. We're in support of this fully. I could lobby for more, but we'll let you have your 300 a day. That sounds productive. You can only be so efficient at UVA, right?
Exactly.
So, guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us. We're really excited to watch this next year and just the summer. It's fun to have you and you're welcome back anytime. So, thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Cool. That's it for this episode of Social Kick. We'll see you next time.
Hey everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you're enjoying Social Kick, tell your friends about it and be sure to tell us what you liked by leaving a comment and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Social Kick. And you can find all of our content on our website at thesocialkick.com.